All the different words that came forth here this morning, I promise you, we haven't been comparing notes. And who's going to say what? It's just, God's been moving, and he's just doing something so awesome and so special, and it's so nice. It's such a special feeling to know that Jesus is with us. And he's leading on. He's leading us on into a special place with him. And my message for you this morning is a due season. Thoreau's looking at me and she's laughing. If there was a time ever that the world needed Jesus, that time is right now. The harvest is ready. Do you believe that? Yes, I do. It's time, people. Harvest of blessing. There will be overflow and abundance when Jesus starts moving, when the Spirit of God starts moving in our lives. It's a time for looking out, and I feel that the church and the body of Christ as a whole, we've spent a lot of time looking in. What can I get from Jesus, and what can Jesus do for me? But I feel that the Lord's changing all of that. And he's taking us from looking in to looking out. Like that word that Brady gave, 180 degrees, and we're looking out to see what Jesus wants for our lives, what he wants us to do. We've been doing a series on the Wednesday evenings, and the course we've been doing, I know a lot of you aren't there, it's Psalmody by Tom Ingalls. And he's been talking about where the Lord has been bringing us to a place of true worship. And maybe you say today, Lord, I worship you. Then get out there. Worship is acting on the Lord, God's word. That's true worship. Yes, I know we come and we worship and we sing songs, but true worship is acting on his word and getting out there. Lord, I love you. Oh, Father, I love you. Then you need to get out there. How did Jesus tell the Father that he loved him? By doing what he was asked to do, what the Father showed him to do, he did that. That was the expression of his love. Lynn will often walk into the bathroom, and I'll hear her mumble, and she'll come into lunch. Ivan, if you really love me, you'll pick up those towels that are lying in the bathroom. If you really love Jesus, and if you truly worship him, you're going to act on his word this morning. You're going to reach out, and you're going to get out there. Amen? What is a due season? Is that the time of God's appointment? Jesus has an appointment with us. The right time to sort our lives out and to move with Jesus. And you know what? It means letting go. It means that, I'm talking to myself as well, we need to get out of our comfort zones. We've become too comfortable. Our places of security, if we feel too secure. And I also believe for many of us here, fear. We don't step out because fear, the fear of man. It's a time of letting go. You need to let go of fear this morning. And to put your lives, to put your trust in Jesus as you step out and do what he's called you to do. He's going to stretch you. Now, for some of us that ride bicycle and we do exercises, Franco knows what I'm talking about. To stretch your muscles is not easy. The following day it hurts. It's not going to be easy. But take a step of faith today and stretch out and trust Jesus and express your worship and your love for him in that way. And guess what? When we start doing that season, it's going to become a season of fruitfulness. Amen? Doesn't the Word of God say, when you do what is right, it'll go well with you? When you do what is right, it'll go well with you. Our Lord Jesus Christ will undertake for all those things that we lack, all those things that we need. He knows that. He knows that. But act on the call that he has for you. Just do it, and he'll undertake for all those things. Keep your eyes on Jesus and move forward. Maybe you feel that you've labored. You've labored in vain. Ah, yes, I've had all those seasons in my life, the summers and the winters, and I've labored and I've done all these things, but still haven't seen any fruit. Just as God alone gives the increase, often God alone sees the fruit. It may not be revealed to your eyes until the day he reveals it. When he says to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and you'll see then your glorious fruit. Amen. Let's turn to Galatians 6, verse 9. I hope you're taking notes. Amen, you're all there. Galatians 6, verse 9. "And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap, if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint." Stand strong. Keep doing what he's called you to do. He says, "Take courage and faint not." For us, I believe that Jesus has been preparing and he's been shaping us for the great harvest. And I know we've gone through difficult times individually. We're facing so many different things. It's a busy world out there. It's a world that is so up and down. And like when the wind blows and you see that tree, it moves around. And the wind just blows it. But you know what? When that tree moves around, it just makes that trunk stronger. And use these times, when you're going through all these difficult times, use that to make you strong. To bring about that strength that he wants for you so that you can carry out his purpose for your life. Romans 8, verse 18 to 19. Let's turn there. "But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us, in us, for us, conferred on us. For even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known, waits for the revealing, the disclosure of their sonship." All creation, the world is waiting for you. Amen. Maybe you're sitting here today and you feel you haven't got what it takes. It's not in natural strength, but it's through his Spirit. We are to love God. We are to serve him faithfully. And he alone is to be our portion. Amen. And our great reward. He alone is to be our portion and our great reward. I've got something really exciting I want to show you this morning. Let's turn to John 20, verse 21. Then Jesus said to them, "Peace to you. Just as the Father has sent me forth, so I am sending you." And having said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Let's go back to 21. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. Just as the Father has sent me forth, so I am sending you." And the peace that Jesus is talking to us about here is not the peace that when I get home on a Sunday afternoon and I'm laying in the garden and it's so peaceful and the birds are tweeting and the wind's rustling through the trees like it. Yes, it's that as well, but it's actually not that. The word peace, shalom, it means wholeness. It means completeness. It means prosperity. It means nothing missing. It means nothing broken. That's what he was saying to them. Peace to you. When they went out, when he commanded them, this is everything that you have when you go out. Jesus is not coming back for a broken church or a broken people. He's coming back for a body, a people that are complete in him. Let's turn to Mark 4, verse 23 to 24. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. And he said to them, "Be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you." Sure. "And more besides will be given to you who hear." Wow. "To him who hears, more will be given." For me, I believe that's about understanding. We can hear the word of God, but if we don't have understanding, it's not going to do anything for us. And I'm sure that many of you, you sit here on a Sunday morning and the word gets preached and it's almost like it just bounces off. Or it goes in the one ear and it comes out the other. Because we don't have an understanding of the word that has been released that Sunday morning, even on the Wednesdays. As you pray and study that word that comes forth here on a Sunday, and I want to ask you, you need to take notes. Guys, are you taking notes? God is speaking. And write everything down that's taking place on the Sundays and on the Wednesdays. And as you pray and study that word, the Spirit will give you understanding. It will bring understanding of what he's saying. And that will bring nourishment to your spirit man. Not everything you hear is good for you. We watch too much TV. We spend too much time reading the newspapers or driving to work and we read all these boards of what's going on all over the place. Take your eyes off that stuff. Satan's going to distract you. He's going to distract you. Come to the place where I only have eyes for Jesus. Choose what you want to nourish yourself with today. Are you going to nourish yourself with the word of God, of what he's saying at this time, or with everything that's flying around out there? Again, do you take notes in church? Do you study What study are you giving to it? Or do those notes, you know what, we take them and put them in a Bible, and it ends up on the back seat of the car. Or when you get home, it goes into the drawer. On your way to church on Sunday, you take it out of the drawer, and you come to church with it. Guys, we need to start studying that word of God. I want to ask you today, if you're not in a life group, you need to be part of a life group. Because it's in those life groups, it's where they take the word that is ministered on a Sunday and they go through it. They give study to that word. I really want to encourage you to be part of that. You might hear the answer to your problem through the messages as you study that word. And that's going to nourish you and bring life. We've had a lot of word about holiness, and it came at you this morning. It's been coming on and off where God's been speaking to us about holiness and about sorting our lives out. What does holiness mean? It's about being set apart. For me, it means to be clean. Jesus is wanting to set us apart, and he wants us to be clean. If we're going to be effective, we need to be set apart, we need to be clean. And I thought about it, and the Lord's been speaking to me about it. And then I looked again, the September month is the month of Elul for the Jewish people. It's the time of introspection. It's a time that they look in to see if there are things inside that God is not pleased with. The things that hold them back, that keep them back from that intimacy with the Father. Take out what does not belong. If God is talking to you, if there are things there that you know that don't belong there, and it's hindering you, it's hindering your walk with the Lord, take it out, get rid of it. We need to be living sanctified lives. Another big area is idols. I don't have any idols in my life. Really, Arvin, I don't. I think in many ways, it's a problem for a lot of us here today. Do you have idols in your life? Things that stand before you and God. You devote a lot of time to those things. I want to give you an example. When the Israelites left Egypt, you know what? God blessed them. There was such an abundance. They took all the gold, they took all the silver, and everything else with them. Amen? Wasn't that so? What happens next? They didn't know what to do with all the stuff. So they build idols. Yeah, well, that's the Israelites. Let me tell you something, that's happening even today. Jesus blesses us. He blesses us. But we turn those things into idols in our lives. It could be the house. It could be the car. It could be your business. Anything. If it's taking you away from Jesus, if you're spending more time with that thing than you are with the Lord, guess what? It's an idol. Three weekends ago, this is actually the point that I'm coming to. Three weekends ago, I came up here, Craig was leading and Mark was ministering. And I had a word for Angie and Vaughan. But as I came up here, the Lord just showed me something. And I shared it with you guys. And I saw this piece of ground. And I looked at this piece of ground. And it had been tilled and it had been sown. And it had been prepared so specifically. All the beds were laid out neatly. And all the furrows that were running in between the beds. had been laid out all neatly. Everything was so perfect. And I looked at this bed, and there was no foreign thing in it. There were no weeds. It was clean. It was clean. And I thought about it, veggie garden, flower garden. You know, it's not. It's God's garden. You are God's garden. And then I looked again and I saw the water began to flow in and amongst these furrows. And as that water began to flow, it started to bring nourishment to the beds, to bring life that had been planted in those beds. A due season, it's a time of fruitfulness. It's a time of blessing. And you know what, for me, it's divine access into a new place. Jesus is taking us into a new place. And maybe you're thinking, yeah, I know, look what's happening out there. Look what's happening to the rand. Look what's happening in America. Look what's happening in Korea. Look what's happening in Europe. Keep your eyes off those things. And keep your eyes on Jesus. If your eyes are fixed on that stuff, you're going to sink. Like when Peter got out of the boat and he began to sink because eyes are where they shouldn't have been. If your eyes are on Jesus, you're not going to sink. It's divine access into a new place. Jesus is taking us into a new place with him, where we're going to experience an abundance of his Spirit, a supernatural move of his Spirit upon our lives. Do you believe that this morning? And then the Lord took me to Psalm 65, verse 9. Let's go there. You visit the earth and saturate it with water. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide them with grain when you have so prepared the earth. You water the field's furrows abundantly. You settle the ridges of it. You make the soil soft with showers, blessing, sprouting of its vegetation. You crown the year with bounty and goodness. And the tracks of your chariot wheels drip with fatness. The luxuriant pastures in the uncultivated country drip with moisture, and the hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows are clothed with flocks, the valleys are also covered with grain. They shout for joy and sing together. Wow. God is doing something. He's pouring his Spirit out upon us. He's pouring his Spirit out upon that fertile ground. Is your heart fertile ground? There's been a battle that has taken place. And you know what? The enemy has tried so hard to stop what God is wanting to do. And I know individually, there are a lot of people here, you've been going through a lot of things. And Satan's been trying to hold you back. He's been trying to discourage you. He wants you to fail. This last couple of months, I'll be honest with you, it's been the greatest battle of my life. I've been through so many things. There were times where I almost felt like giving up. It was just one after. It was almost like the devil was coming at me with a Gatling gun. But you know what? He does that when there's breakthrough coming. He's doing that because he can see that the Spirit of God is moving. that the river of God is moving in this place and in your lives. And I want to encourage you, if you've been going through that, staying strong, get up. Get up. And continue doing what He's called you to do. Something is about to happen. That garden, I believe, I know God's doing something in the body, but I believe that garden, God's garden, that vision that He gave me is for this church. It's for this church. It's for this body. It's for you. Let's turn to Isaiah 44, verse 3 and 8. Verse 3 to 8. Don't fall asleep on me. Are you paying attention? I can see, eh? For I'll pour water upon him who is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I'll pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing upon your descendants, and they shall spring up among the grass like willows or poplars by the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's, and another will call himself by the name of Jacob, and another will write, even brand a tattoo upon his hand, I am the Lord's, and surname himself by the honorable name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, besides me there is no God. Who is like me? Let him stand and proclaim it, declare it, and set his proofs in order before me, since I made and established the people of antiquity. Who has announced from old the things that are coming? Then let them declare yet future things. Fear not, nor be afraid in the coming violent upheavals. I have told you it from of old and declare it. And you are my witnesses. Are you listening? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not any. He's talking about all the upheavals. He's talking about you becoming a witness for Jesus and declaring it. Are you ready to declare? Are you ready to stand as a witness for Him? The world won't like it. Do not look around what's happening in the world. You'll get distracted. It's going to pull you down and make you sink. We belong to Jesus, and He bought us with a price. Mark has often spoken about, do you want to be a river or a dam? And really, the Lord's asking us today, are you a river or are you a dam? You know, there's a big, big difference between a river and a dam. Ezekiel 47, verse 1 to 12, you can write it down and you can go through it when you get home. We're running out of time. And that passage of scripture talks about the river of God, where life flows from the temple of the house of the Lord. Wherever the river flows, there will be life, there will be healing, and there will be a great number of fish. To live in this world is to expand with God, walking alongside Him every step of the way. He wills us to go, and as we do, we bring life to that river that Ezekiel is talking about. The river makes the water pure, clean, fresh. It's renewing and it brings life. It's living. The river's flow is God working through people to share the good news of hope, peace, life, and love that we receive from God. That's the river of God. When you're sharing that to a lost and to a dying world, that river will begin to flow and it'll begin to bring life, joy, hope, and peace. There'll be abundance when you begin to do that in your own life. It's a river of influence, a new life and a new heart of worship. In that book of Ezekiel, it talks about the river flowing, and there were waters that were cut off from the river. What happened to those waters that were cut off from the river? They became stagnant, and every bad thing began to grow in that. If you look at a marsh in the natural, you got frogs in there, you got mosquitoes coming out of there. And Jesus doesn't want our lives to be full of frogs and mosquitoes. He doesn't want us to smell. A marsh smells. Because there's no life flowing through it. You can cut yourself off from Jesus and you can do your own thing. And your life will become that very thing. Don't compromise. It's time to arise. God has called us to set the captives free in Isaiah 61. He's called us to set the captives free and to heal the brokenhearted. He's called us to proclaim the rule of God. We are no longer bound by fear. We can do it. I want to read to you this last Wednesday that just passed. Tom Ingalls has been talking to us about the restoration of the tabernacle of David. And in his conclusion, can I read what he wrote here? God's people are living, moving tabernacles that make available the presence and the power of God to humanity. Sure. When God restores, there is an outpouring of His Spirit resulting in revival and evangelism. We're on the brink of the greatest outpouring the church has ever experienced. There will be mass evangelism that will sweep across nations and continents. Awesome signs and wonders will happen everywhere all the time. God is restoring things in His church right now. And you are His chosen vessel to achieve this. God is restoring His church right now. How amazing is that? And you're His chosen vessel to achieve all these things. Sure. In Him we move. Always quote the scripture. He's laughing at me. Acts 17:28. In Him we live, in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. Can I do that without Jesus? No. Guys, let's become vessels of honor. Let's step out and let the river of God flow through us. John 17:38. Let me close with that. John 7:38. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. Wow. He who believes in me, who cleaves to, trusts in, and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. Amen. Are you ready for Jesus? God has been speaking to us so much, and there's so many messages have been coming through concerning that. Franco has been trying to encourage you guys for not long to step out and to be accountable for that word that is placed in you, called of God. And I really want to encourage you guys, don't hold back. Yeah, but I don't have that natural ability to do all those things. You know, God doesn't see that. He doesn't see that. He wants to use you, and He will equip you. He will give you the courage and the boldness to do that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we love you. We worship you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. We lay our lives before you. We lay our lives before you. Father, use us. Equip us to do what you've called us to do. Fill us with your Spirit. That river that flows from your very throne room, that river will just begin to flow through us right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask and I pray that in the days and weeks and months that lay ahead, that you're just beginning to increase that. That you begin to increase that. That we would run with the fire of your Spirit. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies, don't run off. If you could meet Jenny after the meeting. If anybody needs healing, if you need prayer this morning, you need to be here in the front. You need to come to the front so that we can pray for you. Also, don't forget, if you're here for the first time, a free cappuccino. We make the best cappuccinos here in Modderfontein. Amen. God is good.
It's a lost psalmody, and it's a refresh of everything, a revision.
Okay.
So if you didn't get it,
this coming Wednesday is the last of the psalmody. And when I say the last of the psalmody, it's the last of all the lessons that we've been doing. And on Wednesday, we're going to be doing a refresher on everything that we've studied and what we've learned. Amen. So we're going to see you all there.